You're listening to Dietitian Power Hour with Morgan, Cody, and Libby. Grab a drink and enjoy.
Oh my God. Sorry, my laptop was muted and I'm like, why can I not hear anybody?
You're like at wit's end.
Struggling with the technology. It's just not my thing. But here we are. We made it. Okay.
We made it.
Okay. Let's dive right in. Welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of Dietitian Power Hour. Today we're talking about intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. After 10 minutes of tech support issues, we are here and we're ready to go. I'm drinking a beer, as always. This one is called Laodamay. It's not, I don't know, I guess it technically counts as a hazy IPA, but it's not super hazy. It's pretty hoppy, pretty bitter, pretty delicious.
Nice. So I am drinking again tonight, but so we're recording this a little bit later than usual tonight. So I'm just having a protein shake. I had like some soy milk in it, and I put some chocolate protein powder and some chia seeds.
Such a bro.
Yeah, I totally know, right? Bro in it, man. I also love that you say you're drinking. That is not that is not drinking, sir.
Different use of the word.
You're proteining.
So in that case, I'm also drinking. I'm drinking a little spot of tea. I feel like I have to come clean. I made a bet, and that's why I'm not drinking. And I'm not one to lose a bet. I'm very competitive. And I don't love dry January, so I won't call it dry January. But I made a bet with my friends and some of my family, and so I'm not drinking because it's a bet. Not a huge fan of dry January. I just don't love the all or nothing mentality, but here I am. I'm doing it. I am not drinking today, but I will say next episode I will be drinking and I can't wait.
Oh, all of us will be, because it's my birthday next week.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Yes, we're hopefully going to be recording in person. It's going to be epic.
I can't
And you all better be drinking, because I'm like the token alcoholic of the group. I've never not drinking, so.
Libby, I'm usually never not either. This is very rare circumstances, so I can't wait to join you both in person to have a few drinks.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so intermittent fasting. Let's get right into it.
Yeah, this has been such a huge trend. When did you guys first kind of hear about intermittent fasting? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. In college, probably.
Yeah, I want to say it's been like a few years when it first started popping up. But in the past couple of years, it's gotten super popular for multiple reasons. Yeah. And I saw this meme. I actually loved it. And I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something like, millennials are so creative. They started skipping breakfast and then started calling it intermittent fasting. That's my favorite thing because it's so true.
Honestly, I mean, it's, yeah, I think we need to get into it, but y'all are going to learn today. Mm-hmm. And us too. I think that you guys are going to have a different perspective too and have read different articles.
So let's dive into what intermittent fasting is.
Yeah. So it's kind of an umbrella term, right? There's like different types. There's what they call alternate day fasting, which kind of how it sounds. You just skip an entire day of eating, however many days a week you do that. And then there's this, the other major one that they've kind of studied is time restricted eating, which is what I think most people think of when they're talking about intermittent fasting as the trend nowadays. It's like, you know, you basically skip breakfast. You only eat like during maybe an 8 or 6 hour window out of your day.
Right. And I feel like that one's the most popular with like people that I know that are doing intermittent fasting. It seems like the 16-8, like fasting for 16 hours. And then the next 8 hours is your eating window. It seems like that's the most common within the people that I know that are doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And that's what most of the literature shows as well. When we get into it, is more of the 16-8 versus the, you know, the 14-10 or the every other day That's like an easy one for me to just be like, F no. But
right.
For the every other day, starving yourself. Not a huge fan of that, but.
I agree. And you know what? I actually read something a little different with the full day of fasting. I read what is most common is 1 or 2 days a week of complete fasting, or 1 or 2 days a week of like severe calorie restriction. So eating 500 calories on those.
Like 25% roughly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do, I agree. I think the most common is like the 16-hour fast with the 8-hour window of eating.
Guys, I don't know if either of you caught in that paper that I sent, it was just that big review article, but it was so funny because they were like, they were talking about the alternate day fasting where you don't eat anything for like 2 days a week. And they were like, this isn't recommended for many people because of the severe side effects of hunger and like being cranky or something. It was just, I don't remember the exact wording, but I was like, yeah, that's.
That makes sense. Concern. I get cranky if I don't eat in like 4 hours, and it's real bad. I know. Same. Intermittent fasting, I'm excited to talk about the good and the bad, but it's not for me.
Yeah. So I'm curious, before we like really get into it, so I'm curious for you guys, just talking to people who have tried this, why are they doing it? Why are they interested in it?
Weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Weight loss. And just the trend. I think initially it was the weight loss thing, and having people love structure. People love having structure around food because it eliminates the unknown and maybe some chaotic feelings that people might be having around food. So I think part of it's the structure, and part of it is just the trend.
That's so interesting. Looking for like that black and white, easy to follow, rigid. It's interesting though, because I've talked to some people who have tried it, not necessarily for weight loss, but just because they think it's going to make them healthier overall.
Right.
Interesting.
There's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot. It's not a lot of research. Intermittent fasting,
it's a mixed bag of research.
It is, because there's research out there that's looking at how fasting can affect obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and some neurological disorders. So there's a ton of, not research necessarily, but interest in those areas. Mm-hmm. But there's not a ton of research that are large studies on humans that look at the effect of intermittent fasting on those disorders to make any big claims. If that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. It's like there's a scattered amount of different types of studies that have found some really interesting thing, but there's no like real consistent body. And as we've already mentioned, there's so many different kind of things that fall under the umbrella term of intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So I'm curious if either of you had a client come to you and ask if intermittent fasting would be a good idea, would you recommend it, or would you try to persuade them into a different route?
That's a hard answer to hard question to
earmuffs.
Answer. Yeah. Earmuffs. I think it depends on the person. Like I've had a conversation previously with Trent's sister-in-law who does do intermittent fasting, and it works for her and she enjoys it. Part of it, you know, she has some issues with blood glucose control, even though she's like a super fit, super tiny little person.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, you know, that it works for her. She feels that she doesn't experience as much, as many episodes of like feeling lethargic or having really those spikes and spikes and lows in her blood sugar. But she's not a true diabetic. She's not diabetic. So if you're listening and you're a diabetic, IF is so not for you, which we can talk about at a different day. But
definitely.
You know, I just think it depends on the person and it depends on their situation. And I don't know. If they're doing it and they're like, I just want to lose a bunch of weight, so I'm not going to eat, we're going to have words about it. But if it's like, hey, I want to lose weight, I find that this will work best with my schedule, and if I am, you know, and it's going to work for me, then we can talk about it. But they have to have the right mindset, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I would say something similar. Like if someone, it really just depends on the person, because there is some pretty interesting evidence in favor of some intermittent fasting approaches as far as body weight. So if someone came to me and they're really interested in intermittent fasting, and maybe they've been doing it or they've tried a few other approaches, I would be supportive of it. I think I would, try and make sure and work with them that they're still meeting their nutrient needs, you know, adequacy.
Right.
The most important thing.
And I think,
but for it again, it depends on the person. And I was going to save this story, but I'll just tell it. There is a friend of mine who works at a gym. He's a trainer and really a pretty active guy. Like, not, I wouldn't say he's a bodybuilder, but he lifts a lot. And he told me once, you know, I've been doing intermittent fasting, but he's like, I have a nutrition question for you, 'cause I know you're a dietitian. And he's like, why do I always get such severe cramping? Is there something I need to do with my electrolytes differently? You know, what are my hydration needs? And he's just trying to figure this out. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me about your fasting schedule. Well, it turns out he was following like a 6 or 8 hour eating window during the afternoon, right? So he would only eat from like 1 or 2 p.m. until 6 or 8 p.m. at night. And he was doing these rigorous workouts at 10 a.m. in the morning. So think about that. Your last meal was maybe 6 or 8. You go to bed. You wake up. You're fasted for 14 hours before that workout. You have no glucose except for if there's any stored in your liver and maybe your muscles. But, you know, he was going into these, you know, intense lifting workouts in a fasted state. And then immediately after those workouts, he wasn't eating for then another 3-4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I'm like, no wonder you're cramping. Your body has no glucose, no electrolytes, you know.
Yeah, that is so insane.
So that's where it's like he had heard intermittent fasting was good. But like for his activity level and his life, that is not a good fit right there, you know?
Yeah, that's such a good point. It does really just depend on the person and their lifestyle and their gym routine. Like even if you work out at night and you already ate dinner before you went to work out and you come home and it's past your eating window and you can't eat, then that's an issue because you do want to refuel after your workout, you know? So it just depends, I think, on the person.
Totally.
So
good awkward pause. Okay, so let's get into the what are the pros? I feel like we've already kind of been discussing it.
I think so too. I have one more pro. One thing I do like about intermittent fasting is that it doesn't cut out any food groups. And I
think that's huge.
It's huge because most diets, and not that, actually, you know what? Intermittent fasting for weight loss could technically probably still be considered a diet. But I do like that it doesn't cut out any food groups. And I think people like it because it gives them some sort of structure with the timing of their meals.
Yeah. I'm going to amend that statement to it. It absolutely is a diet, intermittent fasting. Because while you're not necessarily restricting food groups, you're restricting your eating patterns.
Right.
And you're not, you know, in terms of like, intuitive eating, you're not honoring your hunger cues.
Exactly. If you're just not rigidly following, you know, the clock.
Yeah. You are dieting, and it has benefits in terms of when people really need that structure, and then, you know, say they really do want to lose weight, and it's hard to have discipline to just we just say, you know, eat better. We're going to talk about weight loss on a different episode, but it's hard to have discipline without having a pattern if you don't have any information. You know, you don't you're not a dietitian. You didn't go to school to learn about, you know, metabolism balance and eating for your energy needs and all of the stuff, right? For a layman, it's really nice to just have a plan and a pattern. And I will give intermittent fasting that it does have guidance. There's lots of really good resources for it. I actually, Trent came home and told me, he's like, oh, this app popped up on my phone today. And it's, I'm going to plug it, even though I don't know what it is, but like this Fastic app popped up and I was like, oh, tell me about it. And it's like, it legit is an intermittent fasting app.
My gosh.
I was like, well, isn't that just the thing of the day? They probably heard me talking about it and they popped up on your ads. But, so, you know, and like, there's a lot of resources and a lot of people who are doing it. And, I will say a lot of people who promote it are not promoting just this like time frame eating pattern. They're also like, and while you're at it, cut out all refined sugars. Right. And then I'm like, damn it. Yeah. Like you're adding more to a diet that's already a diet, right. You know?
Well, and I'm just to add on that, I like Cody, you mentioned that there are research studies out there that support intermittent fasting for weight loss, which is probably the number one reason why people try intermittent fasting. And the problem that I have with that is that I guess I'm getting into critiques now of intermittent fasting. It's hard for me because I'll just throw this out there. I don't love intermittent fasting. And so I'm trying to focus on the pros. But there's just a lot of issues around the research in it. For example, like the weight loss research, there's not very many studies that are over a few weeks long, like 8, 10, 12 weeks long. And yeah, people will lose weight because they're eating less calories in a smaller amount of time throughout their day. But what happens when they stop the intermittent fasting diet? They'll gain it back. Just like any other diet, 95% of people will gain the weight back. Unless this is a lifelong change, which if it is, then like Libby mentioned, you're just kind of messing with your hunger cues and not really honoring your body and getting to know your body and listening to your body. So I don't know. It's just a tricky one.
No, I think you bring up a good point, Morgan. And I think we should discuss a little bit, like we're talking about how intermittent fasting causes weight loss. And let's chat about the research a little bit for people who don't know, like, is it intermittent fasting doing it? Or there's so many other factors that could be playing into this, right? Is it the timing of what you're eating, when you're eating, or is it that you're restricting calories during your day? I think that's, we should have a conversation about that before we really dig into why we dislike it.
Yeah, I think, so I'll be honest, I read a few research studies and I'm fairly familiar with the research, but as far as the metabolism side, I know that there are claims out there that with intermittent fasting, your body's kind of forced to tap into your fat stores, similar to the keto diet, because you don't have any glucose.
You do produce ketones.
Right.
So you would be even in the morning, say you skip breakfast.
Right.
And you're in that fasted state. You do have some ketones.
Right.
Because, at that point.
Right. Because your body has used a lot of your glucose stores. So it starts tapping into the ketones. So I know that that's a claim of intermittent fasting. But from what I know and the research that I've read, I believe that it's majority of a calorie deficit, eating less calories in a smaller window, even though you don't have those restrictions, it's just, you're probably not eating as much as you would.
Yeah. And I can't remember, Morgan, in those, the human like intervention studies that they've done, it would be interesting to see if they were controlling for calories. You know what I mean? So if those people, because I think I would have to look back.
Yeah, Cody. I actually, from the studies that I read, they didn't. Like, it was basically just eat what you want within this time frame.
Okay. Yeah. And see, that's the perfect example of something that more research is needed on. Because if I were to design a study like that, the first thing I would do is control so that person is getting their calorie needs
right.
every day, whether it's a 20-day study or a 30-day study, like make sure each individual is meeting their calorie needs within that time frame, because that's one more factor you could eliminate then.
Right.
We wouldn't be wondering if it was just a calorie deficit, mm-hmm. you know.
Nutrition research is hard. There's just so many other factors that go yeah. into these things that you can't really control. It's hard.
That's why, like, there's a lot of mice studies
yeah.
for this.
Yep.
And interestingly, they're all on male mice.
Oh.
And I think a lot of the human studies were just on males as well. That was weird.
That is kind of interesting. I wonder what that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because then you don't run the risk of your participants getting pregnant, not being able to participate.
Lower dropout rate.
Yeah. I'm sure that's not the reason, but it is a thought.
Yeah, those overnight research facilities. Man.
Oh, yeah. Whew. Meet your soulmate. Get real hot.
That's,
oh my gosh,
can't control for that factor.
You sure can't. God. Okay. I'm trying to think of, you know, I feel like I've talked about intermittent fasting so much before, not on mic, but that I'm just like at a loss of what have I said about it and what do I want to say about it.
I
think if you've listened to season one, you all know my standpoint on any type of diet, any type of restriction. I think if at any time in your day you have to go, man, I'm hungry, and then you look at the clock and go, not for another 2 hours, there's an issue. And so that's my biggest issue with intermittent fasting is stuff changes. Like today, I don't even know what time it is here. It's 6:30 where I live. I've usually already eaten dinner, but my day was crazy. I worked up until the 5 minutes before we started recording this episode, and I have not eaten, and I'm starting to get a little bit hangry, so I'm drinking my beer because that's a good idea. But regardless, like, my day didn't work out like it would have. And if I was intermittent fasting, say I'm on the 14 and 8, there it no
no
16 and 8 what adds to 24 hours, the 16 and 8, if I had not eaten, you know, or whatever, if I started my day at 8 and then I would have been done at 4, which means I would have missed dinner and then I wouldn't have been able to eat, and then I would just be hangry, grumpy, go to bed, probably sleep like shit because I haven't eaten all day or for hours until I go to sleep. And it's just, you know, I think of it in terms of quality of life. Are you going to be stressed out because you need to eat and you're hungry, but it doesn't work into your intermittent fasting schedule. So
that's so true.
I agree. I think that's, I think that's a really big issue with it too, because it doesn't, because you are robbing yourself of honoring those hunger cues and following that more intuitive eating. Look, the human animal is a dynamic system. At the end of the day, you're not following the 12 o'clock on the clock or the six, you know, like Libby just said, there's certain days that your activity level is different, your schedule is different, and you just might feel hungry at different times. And if you start to just suppress that too much, then you're really losing touch with your body and giving it what it needs.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
And I would say, I would argue it's just another form of disordered eating. And people that have tried diets in the past tend to hop to a new diet when the last one didn't work for them. And so people that are trying intermittent fasting.
Oh, yeah. Yeehaw.
I would say would likely be people that have tried diets in the past and probably don't have that baseline healthy relationship that with food that we always mention. And we talk about a healthy relationship with food quite a bit. And I just really think that intermittent fasting makes it very difficult to work on that relationship with food, especially if you come from a background with disordered eating already. And by disordered eating, I mean what I'm talking about is kind of, Libby, what you were talking about. Like, if it makes your quality of life worse and you're stressed about food and what time is it and can you eat, even though your body's telling you that it's hungry and you deny it, it's just messing with your hunger cues. And I'm not happy when I'm hungry. So.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, every article and research study that I read on intermittent fasting today and yesterday, they all really emphasized this is not meant for people, you know, for pregnant or breastfeeding women or for people with a history of eating disorders such as, you know, anorexia or bulimia or and then also not meant for anybody with diabetes or other conditions. And that was nice to see because it was pretty much everywhere was like slapped around. But how many people in, you know, in the United States, in the world have an undiagnosed eating disorder? It's unreal how many people have eating disorders that have never been addressed.
About that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And part of that ties to kind of our overall lack of awareness for mental health that we have as individuals and in humans. It's part of our nature. But it makes me so nervous to even like, I mean, I would never promote this for anybody just because we run the risk of then developing a real issue with food that doesn't need to be there.
Totally.
Yeah.
So.
See, I think it does depend though, because some people, you know, I think some people maybe do just need a structure and maybe they do habitually tend to skip breakfast anyways. And maybe it really works for them. I don't know. I think there are instances where I would be supportive of it for depending on the person. But as far as the research, yeah, they've observed some positive things with it, like weight management in the mice. I saw too, like reduced LDLs, reduced triglycerides. Improved insulin sensitivity.
I just wonder if those things are happening because of the fasting period or because they're losing weight or eating less calories. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like if the lowered cholesterol is tied to the healthier body, right. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I did see some, I mean, I wouldn't call it good research. I saw research regarding circadian rhythms and weight loss and then the time in which, you know, from your last meal to when you're sleeping. And then I also saw some okay research on insulin sensitivity and fasting, which again, that just has to do with how your body metabolizes things, right? In a period of starvation, it's going to utilize other resources other than your primary source of glucose, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, there's definitely science behind this. It's just a matter of how much of this is
how much we really
restricted
know.
Or yeah, like it's really subjective. There's better ways to lower your triglycerides without having a period of hunger during the day, you know?
Well, it's interesting. At the end of that review article too, they actually included all these, I can't remember what they call it, basically physiological basis for why we would hypothesize that intermittent fasting could have these effects. So it's kind of a lot of hypothetical, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily established research. And furthermore, nothing has looked at long-term effects.
Yeah.
It's all very short.
Especially with humans.
Yeah,
absolutely. I wanted to jump in just, Cody, you'd said for someone who already doesn't eat breakfast, and I was thinking about this today, and in a way I almost already intermittent fast and it's unintentional. But I'm really not a big breakfast person early in the morning. I like have to be awake for a couple of hours before I can eat
me
anything,
too,
unless I wake up really late. But you know, and especially working from home, usually I wake up and then I work for a few hours, I drink my coffee, and then I eat at like 11, and then I eat again at like 2, and I kind of space that around my exercise schedule too, right? I like to eat and then have a little break, and then I like to go work out. But it's just kind of interesting because I was thinking of that. I'm like, I kind of already intermittent fast, but I don't have the mindset of like, you know, I'm not going to eat. It's like,
it's just what
I
you
just
naturally
work and then
do.
Yeah, it's just how I like to operate. And I put cream, or not usually cream, I put like milk in my coffee, or I go get a latte, or so it doesn't really count because you're only allowed to have 0-cal beverages
if you're truly
in
fasting.
The morning during your fast. So like tea, coffee, or water with nothing in it. And that is so not my speed. So
well, hey, if there's benefits to intermittent fasting, you're just, you know, casually picking those up.
And along with
the
flexibility, Libby, because if you woke up hungry, then you could also just eat a little snack.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do almost always do a little snacking, you know, like morning or after dinner or whenever.
I love
I like
to snack.
The chips are my fave.
I do the same thing, Libby, where I'll wake up and just have to like have a few hours before I really like feel hungry. So if I was left to my own devices, like today, I had kind of a brunch around maybe 10:30, 11. And then I didn't eat another like meal. So kind of like a lunch till late afternoon, maybe 3 o'clock. And so in a way, I've already narrowed my time window by skipping breakfast. But then also my challenge is just would be not getting enough calories throughout the day like that, you know, since I'm not eating it as often, I'm not as big of a snacker. I usually have 3, maybe 4 meals. And so that, you know, that I think that's a big component of intermittent fasting is that you're not, you still need to meet your needs and you still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing all the talking, but I have one more thing that I read today. I have one more thing. It was written by a dietitian. She wrote an article on intermittent fasting. It was pretty comprehensive. It was nice. But she said probably 10 times in this one page article, like, not to snack and don't snack and no snacking. And I was like appalled.
Why?
I was like, absolutely not. Snacking is vital for happiness and growth. Like, and it's also tied, you know, yeah, it was written by a dietitian and it was just like, I mean, it was a focused on weight loss article, but her focus was like, do not snack, not like choose healthy snacks, space your snacks, think about your snacks.
Snack.
It was like,
snacks
don't snack.
Are the devil. Mm.
And I was triggered. I love
I'm
snacks.
I'm triggered.
So.
Yeah. Like you can still snack if you're on a weight loss plan.
Absolutely.
But
yeah
like
absolutely.
You said, Libby, like, what are you choosing? How are you spacing them?
Okay, so
how can, if someone wanted to do this, what would we tell them? How would we tell them to do it safely?
Well, I would preface it with just, you know, examining your reasons for doing something like this, first off.
I agree, and just,
if it's,
we talk about this, I think, almost every episode, but just making sure you're still getting that balance and variety within your meals, even though you're eating within a short period of time, because there's no food restrictions.
Yeah.
So you can still have a really nutritious diet while intermittent fasting, which would be my first concern. And
absolutely.
I would say think about too, like, how long do you think you're going to be doing this?
Yes, right. Is this something you want to do until the day you die? Or is this so you can fit into a dress in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're already doing step one, which is always to talk to a dietitian. Mm-hmm. If you're talking to one of us, that's step one, because, you know, we talk like we know what we're doing, because we do. And also we went to school to learn how to have an effective conversation and kind of learn a little more about you, right? And to discuss if this is even a good idea for you. And maybe you're one of those individuals who has an undiagnosed eating disorder that you never knew about. And this is a good time to open up to a complete stranger, chat about it.
Yeah.
Work on some other concerns and issues and growth. And then we can focus on how the best way to address it for you would be. So,
okay. Let's roll into questions.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, we had a pile of them today. Very excited. They're all unique.
So I have three here, so you might have more than me. Did you get some, Libby, too?
So I think one of ours, Morgan, is actually shared. So I put it on the thing. I'm going to read one first because I think
Okay.
it's one that you wrote down too, but it had a little more detail than what you wrote. So the first question is, what differences are there in oils or butters as far as fat content goes? And then what do I cook with? What should you cook with?
Ooh, interesting. There's a couple things to this.
Yeah, take it away, Cody.
Well, okay, so butter would actually have less fat content than oils, right? Because part of butter is water, liquid. And it's also got sugar. So I'd have to check as far as the calories, like per teaspoon and whatnot. But butter has less fat, but what kind of fat is it? So
It's saturated fat. Ooh, I
saturated
know
fat.
the answer.
Yes. So it's solid at room temperature, usually solid, saturated. Not always, but typically oils are liquid at room temperature and come from plants. So like olive oil or soybean oil.
Yeah, and the important distinction is that saturated fats, the way that your body metabolizes different kinds of fats is different, and saturated fats are the kind that will raise your triglycerides and your LDL. So they're the type of fat that gets stuck in your arteries. To make it like the most simple way I can possibly state that without scaring you, because you also still need saturated fats in moderation in your diet. So
I forgot to
but
mention.
my go-to is extra virgin olive oil. That is what I cook with
So what
daily.
about like, okay, let's compare olive oil, avocado oil, or vegetable oil between those three, because those are all mostly unsaturated fats, right? Would you say that there's a
Yes.
healthier option of those three?
What were
Olive
the three
oil,
again?
avocado oil, and then vegetable oil? Because I feel like vegetable oil kind of gets a bad rap. Do you?
So all of those are oils that would have unsaturated fats, more specifically monounsaturated or polyunsaturated fats in different proportions depending on the oil. So
Yes.
there's different, and also there's omega-6s and omega-3s. So like there's our linoleic acid, and no, it's alpha-linolenic.
Alpha-linolenic, yeah.
I always get these mixed up. One is omega-6 and one is omega-3. But typically all of those oils we just mentioned, those are going to be have a much higher omega-6 content, which is just
And I
another type of
believe,
specific
I
type
hope
of
I'm not
unsaturated.
misspeaking, but extra virgin olive oil specifically has the highest monounsaturated fatty acid content. And it has, so it's olive oil versus extra virgin olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil is better because of the I don't know that it's called distilling when you're
Yeah,
making
the
a
refining
oil, but
process.
the refining process
Yeah.
is different, and so it has a higher content of monounsaturated fat. I want to do a whole Instagram post on this because
Yeah.
it's like way too much content, and you need a
Yeah.
visual. I need a visual with it. So watch for that in the future. But
That's
oil,
fair.
my go-to is always extra virgin olive oil. Sometimes butter is what you need though in a certain dish.
For that flavor.
Yeah, for that flavor, but. But if you saute a lot of vegetables, I would recommend utilizing a liquid oil versus a solid, coconut oil included.
Okay, on to the next one. Libby.
Oh yes. I had one more just off my Instagram page, which was the most important changes to make to lower
Ooh, I love
cholesterol.
that.
Love it.
Yes, there's two big ones
Go
that I
for
can
it,
think
Cody.
of.
Yeah, I bet they're the same as
I want to see
mine.
what you guys say.
Number one, increase your intake
Over.
of fibrous, so fresh fruits and vegetables, yes. Number one.
Libby, I'm so happy that you said
that's
that.
That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing I learned in my whole dietetics career.
Me too. Fiber will hang on to those fatty acids and that bile, and then you poop it out, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, so cool. And the other one that I can think of for cholesterol is lowering your saturated fat intake.
Yep, absolutely. And
I don't know, maybe some people that are listening were following the whole egg debacle since 2015. Because it's like for a while they were recommending only like one egg a day, I think, with a yolk or something stupid.
Yeah, and then egg whites only, basically.
Right, for the
they took the yolk away. Same with shrimp. Shrimp was like a bad food for a while.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, quote unquote bad food because of the it has a really high cholesterol content.
Yeah,
but fun fact, they're like taking it off of the new nutrition label because the cholesterol content of your food doesn't directly impact the cholesterol that you get pulled in a blood draw lab.
Yep.
That's impacted by your
saturated
fatty acids, saturated fats. Mm-hmm.
Super important. Dietary cholesterol does not necessarily
raise but saturated blood cholesterol.
So eat your eggs
and fiber.
Saturated fat can. Eat the damn
eggs. Eat the eggs. Cody, I'm glad that we just said the exact same thing. Do you think we spend enough time talking to each other?
Maybe.
Okay.
Okay, Morgan, next question. Is keto healthy? I feel...
Oh my God.
If you have epilepsy, you betcha.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, guys, I had a kid. I've had a couple kids on keto formulas. So she was tube fed and she was on... They tried the keto diet with her because she had awful seizures. And, and I helped our keto dietitian write a ketogenic TBN order for her.
Cool. OMG.
It was super cool. It was super cool. We even had to, like, look into all her meds and, like, what had, like, a speck of carbohydrate.
You're the keto king.
Yeah. Well, I'm not credentialed for it.
For our non-dietitian people, TPN is IV nutrition.
Oh, yes.
FYI. Our acronyms, I was thinking we use a lot of them, so
yeah, everyone's like, what? So is keto healthy?
That's a big one. We discussed keto in season one. Yeah, I recommend you listen to
the episode. Long story short, collectively we probably wouldn't recommend keto because we love vegetables, we love fruit, we love carbs, we love all the things that you can't eat when you're on keto.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a lot of people, I just have to throw this in there again, because a lot of people, I'm assuming we're talking about the keto fat diet right now for weight loss, like eating a ton of fat, cutting out carbs. But a lot of people don't realize that when you're eating this so-called keto diet, if you're eating a ton of meat and protein, you are not in ketosis. You are... If you're supplying your body with proteins, your body breaks those amino acids down into carbon skeletons that then get basically processed into glucose through an awesome process called gluconeogenesis in your liver. And voila, your body gets sugar. It makes its own. So you're probably not in ketosis if you're eating a bunch of protein, you know?
Yeah.
You tell them, Cody. Also, if you do the modern keto diet, you're sure as shit going to raise your cholesterol. So there's that. Look at, we combined.
Yeah, and you're going to be constipated.
Big and answers. Poop. Oh, yeah. Constipated as hell. Nope.
Ever again.
It's not fun for anyone. Ever again. Oh, God. You get a blockage.
Okay.
Okay. Do you guys have any others or is it?
I think we have have one about bodybuilders that I think you have.
The only reason I know we have this question is because it's from someone I know. And she wants to know, what do bodybuilders mean when they say cutting or bulking?
Get it, Morgan. This is your question.
Yeah. So
it was meant for you.
To anybody that doesn't know, I studied exercise science. I was a personal trainer. This is one thing I never understood why people did. I know what they mean by cutting or bulking. So cutting season to bodybuilders is when they cut back on calories, they try to lose as much body fat as possible while keeping their muscle. So I think the idea of bulking is that they eat higher calories, they gain more muscle, working out, like lifting very heavily to gain more muscle and gain a little fat too, because it's almost impossible to eat that many calories and purely gain muscle. So in bulking season, bodybuilders will raise their calories, work out more heavily. And then when cutting season comes around, they lower their calories, change the workout routine a little bit, and try to slim down body fat wise with the hopes of maintaining most of their muscle mass. So that's what they mean by that. And would I recommend it? No, but that's what the intent of bulking or cutting is. And yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I would say it's like
any better.
I would say it makes people think that you can just purely lose fat or purely gain muscle. I think a lot of people want that, but in reality, your body's so dynamic. Like if you're in a calorie surplus, yeah, if you're training really hard, that's going to be going towards muscle repair and like gaining muscle. But at the same time, it's going to be stored. So, and conversely, when you're cutting, if you're eating in a calorie deficit, you are going to have some lean mass breakdown as well, along with the fat. So you're going to lose some of those gains.
Absolutely.
And you can't just control. I just want to add in healthy. I don't want to say healthy because health looks different for everybody, but truly healthy people, good lab values, good exercise routines, balanced diets, truly healthy people. They have, you know, they ovulate like they're supposed to if they're a woman. They have good sperm counts if they're a man. Okay. The pinnacle of health, they have body fat percentages that are higher than any bodybuilder during a period of cutting.
Amen.
Absolutely. I just
like want to say that, okay?
Amen.
Normal people have body fat and it's meant to be. So it's just super important to from a body image perspective.
A lot
we
of
weren't
people
meant to have six packs without a little bit of love around them.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna deny that it looks really good. When you see the people on the magazines, they look beautiful, but that's not, think of what they've, so bodybuilding is an extreme sport, right? That doesn't, I think it's, we just have to stop and think, they look good, but does that really mean they are a healthy individual on all those fronts that you just mentioned? Like, they might have not drank any water for 12 hours before that photo shoot to get their muscles to or the skin to cling to their muscles, you know?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So that's not what a normal, everyday, real life, healthy person looks
absolutely
like, necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's a wrap.
Okay.
Anything else? That was great. That was so fun.
Yeah, that was great.
And next week we're talking about gut health. So I can't wait to chat with you guys.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's a big one.
It'll be a good one.
So excited about gut health. This is my favorite. Okay. I want to end with like, what's your guys's big yay for the week? Something happened that was fun or new or whatever.
Ooh.
I'm going to start because I already have mine. I got my second COVID vaccine.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, I'm less excited, whatever, a vaccination is great, science, yay, but I'm mostly excited because that means here soon, in 2 weeks approximately, I get to go back to work in person, and I could not be happier about it, so I'm super excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'll be so nice. I can't wait to get mine. I think I have a while. I work remote, and I can do my job remote just fine, so I have a while, but so happy for you.
Oh, I know what mine is. So this week I found free Oreos.
Oh, Cody.
Yes.
Oh my God. Dreams come true.
So technically it's an off brand. So they're not Oreos, but I was so surprised, guys. They actually taste like an Oreo. And also the actual Oreo brand has been reported or rumored to be coming out with their own gluten-free cookie in 2021. So we'll be waiting for that as well.
This is already a better year. I love it. I'm so happy for you.
I know. I hadn't had an Oreo for like 12 years, guys.
I love that for you, Cody. So exciting. Good things are happening. You guys, I don't know. I didn't really have anything exciting happen this week. To be honest, it's been the most boring week. I got really busy with work. I told you I wasn't, but I got really busy with work. And then editing turned into a shit show. So I haven't even, like... It was so bad. I haven't really had anything exciting, but tomorrow I get to meet a little pit bull, and you know I love pit bulls. And I'm dog sitting one for the weekend, and then I'm skiing, so I'm looking forward to the weekend. Yeah.
Love it. Sounds amazing.
Yes. Are
Morgan,
you?
Are you night skiing tomorrow?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I might be. Maybe I'll see you up there.
Okay, guys. Well, happy to talk next week about gut health. All right.
Yes.
Bye.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Dietitian Power Hour. Give us a follow on Instagram at Dietitian Power Hour Pod.
You can find us on Spotify or wherever you like to listen. And please drop us some stars if you enjoyed our content.